Reading this morning, text 16, from chapter 20 of Canto 4.
Param chamat kanchana manavindram vrinishvateham gunashila yantritam Naham makair vaisudabhaskapobhir Yogena vayat samachitta varti
Translation, my dear king, I am very captivated by your elevated qualities and excellent behavior, and thus I am very favorably inclined toward you. You may therefore ask from me any benediction you like. One who does not possess elevated qualities and behavior cannot possibly achieve my favor simply by performance of sacrifices, severe austerities, or mystic yoga. But I always remain equipoised in the heart of one who is also equipoised in all circumstances. Report by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Vishnu was very pleased with Maharaj Pitu's good character and behavior and offered him a benediction. The Lord openly says that performing great sacrifices or undergoing the austerities of mystic yoga practice cannot satisfy him. He is pleased only by elevated character and behavior. But these cannot be developed unless one becomes a pure devotee of the Lord. Anyone who has developed unalloyed, unflinching devotional service unto the Lord develops his good qualities as spirit soul. The spirit soul, as part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has all good qualities, all the good qualities of the Lord. When the spirit soul is contaminated by the material modes of nature, one is considered good or bad with reference to the material qualities. But when one is transcendental to all material qualities, all the good qualities come out. These qualities of a devotee, 26 in number, are listed as follows. And here they are. Did you ask Prabhupada to write this purport simply? This is Nanda Sutta's favorite topic, is developing qualities. These floating, levitating. One, kind to everyone. Two, does not quarrel with anyone. Three, fixed in the absolute truth. This is number four, equal to everyone. Equipoise. Samachitta. 5, faultless. 6, charitable. 7, mild. 8, clean. 9, simple. 10, benevolent. 11, peaceful. 12, completely attached to Krishna. 13, has no material hankering. That's only half of his qualities. 14, meek, steady, self-controlled, does not eat more than required, sane, that's a nice one, respectful, humble, grave, compassionate, friendly, poetic, expert, and silent. The Lord is satisfied by development of the transcendental qualities of the living entity, and not by our performance of sacrifices and mystic yoga. Last sentence. In other words, unless one is fully qualified to become a pure devotee of the Lord, one cannot expect to be liberated from material entanglement.
Param chamat kanchana manavendra vrinishva teham guna shila yantrita naham makair vai sulabhas upogir yogena va yat samachittavarti.
Samachittavarti. Samachittavarti, this is one of the Gunashila Yantrita, the attractive, elevated qualities that draws Krishna's attention. Here, Lord Vishnu is appreciating that Prithu Maharaj has these very nice qualities. And because he has these very nice qualities, he's attractive. Yantrita. Gunashila Yantrita. Yantrita. He's attracted the attention of the personality of God. It's so much. He's attracted the attention of the personality of God, but he's come before him, and visibly, Prithu Maharaj can see him. Not only can he see him, he's offering him any benediction he likes. So, that's how to attract Krishna, by the verses, this verse that's being spoken by Lord Vishnu, is the theme of it is said dozens of times, maybe 100 times in the Bhagavatam, maybe more. The principle of only by devotional service, not by other means. There's so many verses that say, not by this, not by this, not by this, not by this, not by this. Although each of those things mentioned are worthy of praise. There, Prabhupada calls them high-grade activities. So consider someone who's very charitable, is praised in this world. Someone is very austere. Someone is very learned. Someone is always engaged in performance of sacrifice. Someone who is very accomplished mystic yogi, and so forth. Those persons in this world are held in great esteem. But as far as Krishna is concerned, that does not attract him. As Prabhupada would say, we'll not find in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, you become a great mystic and I become attracted to you. You become a great scholar and I become very attracted to you. You don't find Krishna says that. But he does say, one who becomes my unalloyed devotee, I'm very attracted to him. Here it's saying same thing in different language. It's saying, one who has nice qualities, I become very attracted to him. One cannot have nice qualities in the transcendental sense of nice qualities. One cannot have those nice qualities unless one becomes a pure devotee of the Lord. And that means the inherent quality of the soul comes out. Because the other kinds of qualities are the modes of nature. in the modes of nature, we know they're illusory. It's now you see it, now you don't. It's asat, it's temporary. Prabhupada gives the example of the cloud in the sky. Sometimes it's clear sky, sometimes it's a cloudy sky. And you can look at the cloud in the sky, and the configuration of the cloud in the sky might look like a pussycat, and you think, oh, very nice. But wait a while. Now it looks like a dragon about to devour me. And then it's gone. Well, it wasn't a pussycat, and it wasn't a dragon. It was a cloud in the sky. Water vapor in a certain condition within the sky. That's what it was. So the appearance of things, according to the modes of nature and the conceptions that we carry in life, you know, in the configuration of your mind, guna and karma, is going to determine configurations of matter, which fall in the categories of good and bad by worldly estimation. But none of those good or bad by worldly estimation have substance. They're insubstantial. Asat. So one can climb the ladder of asat and be at the top of the ladder of asat. That doesn't attract Krishna. It may attract the mind of a worldly person. Oh, very great acrobat. He can do so much yoga. Or how high this person can fly in the chariot of the mind. He's a great philosopher. And so on. For the devotee, as for Krishna, it's insubstantial. One great acharya compared the qualities of a devotee to one of them is like a crane. The crane is white, pure white, white signifying purity. And the crane, he's standing on one leg, and he's looking down, and the little small minnows, they're moving back and forth, and he's just waiting and waiting for the bigger fish, and then he captures the bigger fish. So the explanation is given. As the crane does like that, so the devotee does not become attracted by these insignificant and pale manifestations of matter. Mind does not become attracted nor disturbed by this configuration or that configuration of matter. They're attracted to the realm of spirit. And that's the position, the natural position of the soul. And what is that realm of spirit? The realm of spirit is Krishna, the personality of Godhead. So by the process of bhakti, and particularly the process of shuddha bhakti, one can come to that restored state where the natural qualities of the soul become manifest. How does Krishna describe this in Bhagavad Gita? One very nice place is in chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna gives the the topmost stage. Mind completely absorbed in the intelligence fixed upon me, in such a state one lives with me always, without a doubt. But if you can't be situated in that stage of perfection, then do this. Follow the regulations of bhakti, and you'll develop a desire to come to that. But suppose you say, oh, I can't follow those standards of bhakti, it's too difficult. Okay. Then try to work for me. And gradually you can mature and grow and come to that stage of following the standards of bhakti, and through that come to the stage of perfection. But somebody may say, oh, I can't do that, it's too difficult. I can't work for Krishna. Krishna then says, okay, you can't do that. Then try to become situated in the self and perform activities with detachment for some good cause. Oh, I can't do that. And cultivate knowledge. Better than knowledge is meditation, and better than meditation. So it goes back up. So the topmost is this stage of bhakti. And when one comes to the stage of bhakti, then Krishna describes those qualities in the devotee, in the Shuddha Bhakta, that attract him. I'm going to read what it is that Krishna is attracted to. It's one thing what we're attracted to. What's Krishna attracted to? What's in Krishna's heart? He's disclosing. This is what's in my heart. I'm attracted to one who is not envious, but is a kind friend to all living beings, who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego. He was equal both in happiness and distress, equipoised from this verse, the Bhagavatam verse. Who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled, and engaged in devotional service with determination. His mind and intelligence fixed on me. There it is again. His mind and intelligence fixed on me. That's the topmost stage. Such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. But he doesn't stop there. Krishna says, he by whom no one is put into difficulty, and who is not disturbed by anyone, who is equipoised in happiness and distress, fear and anxiety, is very dear to me. My devotee, who is not dependent on the ordinary course of activities, who is pure, expert, and without cares, free from all pains and not striving for some result, is very dear to me. One who neither rejoices nor grieves, who neither laments nor desires, who renounces both auspicious and inauspicious things, such a devotee is very dear to me. There are lots of qualities Krishna likes. One who is equal to friends and enemies, who is equipoised in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy, who is always free from the contaminating association, always silent and satisfied with anything, who doesn't care for any residence, who is fixed in knowledge, and who is engaged in devotional service, such a person is very dear to me. Last verse of the chapter. Those who follow this imperishable path of devotional service and who completely engage themselves with faith, making me the supreme goal, are very, very dear to me. Okay, how do you get these nice qualities? because you get some nice qualities and you become very dear to Krishna. Well, you get those nice qualities from Krishna. He has a big warehouse, and it's filled with nice qualities. And he'll gladly bestow those nice qualities. But he has a condition. Sarva dharmam parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yashami ma shuchah. Or, in the language of Rupa Goswami, of these 26 qualities, one, you've heard this before, but it's worth repeating. One of the 26 is the primary characteristic from which the other 25 are dependent, or upon which the other 25 are dependent. Krishna Eka Sharana. Okay, that's the same thing. Sarva dharmam prityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. If we just do this one thing, Krishna Eka Sharana, the other 25 qualities follow. Prabhupada would give this example. In the palace of the king, he has a queen. That's the devotee. The queen, she has so many attendants. They call sometimes ladies in waiting. They're just there to do the bidding of the queen. But the very devoted queen, as she moves about the palace here and there, and there are ladies in waiting scurrying after her, what is she thinking? Oh, I have so many ladies in waiting, I can get whatever I want. No. She's simply thinking of the king and serving the king. One who thinks like that is a devotee who is thinking, Krishna is my master. And Krishna naturally then bestows upon the devotee all desirable things. It's also correct, as it's stated in the verse and in the purport, that these qualities are intrinsic to the soul. They're not imported. They're manifest. They, Prabhupada says, all the good qualities come out like a seed. And you nurture the seed. You can leave it on the shelf. Leave it in a jar with a whole bunch of other seeds and it just sits there. Time passes, days pass, weeks pass, months pass, years pass. It just sits there in a jar. Take it out of the jar and cultivate it. But this is, the word cultivation is Prabhupada's language from your devotion. You cultivate bhakti. It's already there, but you cultivate it. And by the cultivation, it comes out. By proper cultivation, it comes out. And when it comes out, Krishna Eka Sharana is the prominent characteristic, the prominent characteristic of a devotee. Prabhupada would sometimes say, what's the difference between the divine and the demoniac? This one thing. So here's a big scholar. Big scholar. We say rascal. But why do we say rascal? Just, is he a devotee of Krishna? Then he's not rascal. Once one scholar, professor, was hearing Prabhupada speak like that. They're all fools and rascals. He's saying, Swamiji, why do you speak like this? Because Krishna speaks like this. Mudha, avajananti ma mudha. Then he said, Swamiji, are you saying Albert Einstein is a mudha? And Prabhupada said, no, he was God conscious. He accepted that the more I learn, he asked, isn't it like this, something like this? The more and more I learn, I feel like a small child on the shore of the vast ocean, and I'm just in awe at the greatness of God. But he is a devotee. He is not mudha. That was one time he said. And that's the dividing line. Because by Krishna's standard, he's my devotee. And what does the devotee mean? He's surrendering to Krishna, taking shelter of Krishna. And what does Krishna do? He decorates that devotee with good qualities. So if we're failing to manifest good qualities, that says something about our surrender to Krishna. The other way around, if we're manifesting good qualities, it says something about our surrender to Krishna. Because when you're surrendered to Krishna, what do you want to do? You want to please Krishna. So when you want to please Krishna, that's the spiritual force that behind which follows the idea, the care and attention to carefully follow what is pleasing to Krishna, like pleasant speech. Speak pleasingly, like, you know, in these qualities. In the presence of friend or enemy, treat everyone equally. Why? Because you can see beyond matter, the particular configuration of matter, and you see the soul. You're the part and parcel of Krishna. There's a very nice story about Jayadev Goswami that illustrates this very nicely. His quality, the quality of devotion. He was a worshipper of Radha Krishna deities. This is hundreds of years before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's the author of Gita Govinda, which we, one song we sing every day many times. The string of prayer is from Gita Govinda. So he's a worshipper of Radha Madhava. And one day he had the desire to have a nice festival for Radha Madhava. But he was a poor Brahmin. He didn't have the means to do that. So he suggested to his wife, Padmavati, I'll go about here and there, various places, and sing Gita Govinda. And when I sing Gita Govinda, I am sure if I make the request, people will contribute something for the worship of Radha Madhava, and I can have a nice festival. Note that a brahmana is very careful, grihastha brahmana, any brahmana is very careful not to receive charity for personal maintenance, but for worship of his deity is fine. Worship of his deity. You find this in the Bhagavatam. Also. Anyway. So, he left home. His wife maintained the worship of Radha Madhava. And after some time, he had received enough they could have a very nice festival for Radha Madhava. So he was coming back home. And on the way back home, he was accosted by some dacoits, some robbers. And they plundered, they stole from him that which was intended for Radha Madhava's festival. And they threw him in the bottom of a well in a forested area and left him abandoned, apparently to die. So Jayadev Goswami at the bottom of the well was calling Krishna's names very loudly. For 3 days, he survived. And one king happened to be passing through the forest, and he heard this voice in the forest, and he followed the sound of the voice, and he found there was a person at the bottom of this well in the forest. So he lifted him out of the bottom of the well in the forest. He took him to his palace to take care of him. He's the protector of his citizens. In the course of caring for Jayadeva Goswami, he heard him reciting Gita Govinda, and he could understand he's not just a mendicant, he's a great saintly person. He asked him, "Who are you?" He gave his name and said the circumstance. He had gone to receive some funds for a festival for Radha Madhava. So the king said, "I'll hold the festival for Radha Madhava. Bring your wife Padmavati. I'll send some messengers to bring her at once, and we'll have a grand festival for Radha Madhava." And very lavishly offer charity to all the brahmanas and feed all the living entities in all directions. So the very same dacoits, hearing the king is going to be giving charity to the brahmanas, they dress themselves up as brahmanas to receive some money from the king. And when they came into the arena, the brahmanas arena for the festival, they saw Jayadeva. They knew, this is the man that we tried to murder. And Jayadeva saw them. And Jayadeva called the king over and pointed to the men, and they thought, we're in big trouble now. So they ran. What he told the king is, make sure that those men receive ample reward, special reward amongst all the brahmanas. And so the constables, the representatives of the king, were going into the audience to give them the reward. And they thought, we're in trouble. We're going to get arrested. So they ran. And as they ran, the constables ran after them. And they ran and ran and ran and ran. Finally, the constables caught up with them and said, wait, stop. The king has asked us to give you this ample reward. Please take. And they said, very well, we'll take, but because you've been so kind, we want to tell you about that person who the king is holding the festival in the honor of. He's a very bad person. He told so many lies about what a corrupted character Jayadeva Goswami was. And as they were speaking like that, the earth opened up and swallowed them. Constables were amazed. They came back and reported what they saw, what they experienced to the king. And the king said, "Who is this Jayadeva Goswami? Jayadeva, can you tell us what's going on here? What just happened?" He told the whole thing, "I wanted you to reward these men because of their bad mentality. They are prepared to do so many bad things that better they have, out of compassion," he was feeling, "better they have what their necessities are so they won't have to do those bad things and they'll be relieved of all that karma for their bad deeds." The king said, "But weren't you angry at them for practically killing you? If I hadn't come through the forest, you would have been gone. And then look what happened. The earth opened and swallowed them." And Jayadeva said, "One who is a servant of the Supreme Lord is the well-wisher for all living beings. And if the Lord so desires something else, that's in his hand. For the devotee of the Lord is the well-wisher of all, even those who would like harm to come to them, even their enemies.
They're the well-wisher of their enemies.
Now, how does that manifest for a transcendentalist? It may vary from transcendentalist to transcendentalist, but it's a principle. And how does that quality manifest, genuinely manifest? By attachment to Krishna. By being on the platform of Sat and not being disturbed by Asat. And then those nice qualities become manifest. I'll give one other example. This is an example I heard Srila Prabhupada express several different times. He was describing deity worship. When one is worshiping the deity, one tries, there's a regulative expression of deity worship, and then there's a attachment to the deity, stage of deity worship. And that attachment stage, one is thinking, the mind is absorbed in thinking how to make nice decoration for the deity. So Prabhupada explained, when one is thinking like that, it's like a mirror. And when you're looking at your face in the mirror and you're putting on your tilak, when you're looking in the mirror, you're looking at the reflection in the mirror. You're putting the tilak on your forehead, but you're looking at the reflection in the mirror. So Prabhupada explained, like that, when the worship of the deity is going on in such a manner that one desires to decorate the deity, actually it's the devotee who becomes decorated with nice qualities. That's the fruit of deity worship. One becomes fixed in devotion to the personality of Godhead, and thereby one becomes decorated with nice qualities. And if one doesn't have that purpose, the regulative, the vidhis of sadhana bhakti are for what purpose? If we don't know what the purpose is, we're just performing the vidhis, the fruit will not come. So when we're doing our sadhana bhakti, the attachment to Krishna is the fruit. And when that attachment to Krishna comes, in Prabhupada's language here, all the good qualities come out. From this Krishna Eka Sharana, this Swarup Lakshana, all the Tatastha Lakshana characteristics come out. So what we want is attachment to Krishna through surrender to Him. But also, secondarily, we want these guna-shila, nice qualities and good character. This is the sign of a maturing devotee. Krishna has been pleased with this person, and Krishna is decorating this person with nice qualities. We should want to please Krishna with those nice qualities. And so you can focus on a nice devotee that you know, that has this nice quality of humility or compassion or, as here, equanimity. They're always steady in their moods. They're always trying to serve very happily, very happily, very happily. Always trying to serve very happily. That's a nice quality. Always trying to serve. Even circumstances become difficult. When you see a devotee like that, it's inspiring. I'd like to become like that. Yes? And you associate with that, through that association with persons who have good qualities, that good quality develops in you. When we recently were in Sridhar Mayapur for a yatra, there was a few teenagers with us. And one of the teenagers said, I really appreciated the getting a much deeper sense of our acharyas in our line of disciplic succession. Because many of our acharyas were, their pastimes and their lives were surrounding the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's very, very awesome, rich, powerful acharyas. So they said, what I would like to do is, I'd like to become like them. How can I become like them? So I suggested, pick one. Think about it. Which is one of the acharyas that inspires you very much? This is a principle of how to develop nice qualities. And hear about that person. Remember that person. Describe that person. Pray to that person. Hear the teachings of that person. Absorb yourself in that which is inspiring to you about that person. And you develop qualities like that person. Ramanujacharya similarly described the same method of how good qualities can be developed. Our acharyas are there to help us come to that stage where they are. That's what they want. That's what acharyas want. It's not like wave to everybody out there and say, I hope you enjoy your suffering. That's not what they want. They want person to be relieved of their suffering. They want person to come to that position of good character, good quality. They invite it. So absorb yourself. So they selected Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And now I'm getting, they're following it. They're not just, was it, a passing teenage thought and tomorrow is something else. They're continuing reading the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And they're finding, whoa, what a great acharya. This inspires me and that inspires me. And so when they finish reading that biography, I'm going to give them some other material to read and just become absorbed in Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And then we'll spend... One of their appreciations is, I see in the life of Srila Prabhupada so much of what is in the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That Bhaktivinoda Thakur paved the way for what Srila Prabhupada in turn did. He had that vision to see what no one else could see, a world of Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada simply fulfilled that wish. Simply. But Prabhupada carried that vision forward. And similarly, unwavering in his determination, fearless, energetic, energized to degrees we can't even imagine within ourselves, to serve Krishna's mission, Lord Chaitanya's mission. I just looked at the clock and I'm remembering I have a flight to catch, so I'm going to have to end. Sorry to stop abruptly. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gopimanandi.